Welcome to the Inspire Church podcast. We hope this message will equip and empower you to reach your God-given potential. Inspire Church is all about loving God, loving people, and inspiring our world. Visit inspirechurch.com.au for more information.
Seven sayings of Jesus from the cross. One was this: Father, forgive them. The other one was when Jesus looked down from the cross, he saw his mother and he saw John, and he said to John, take care of Mum, Mum, take care of John. And just sayings from the cross. He was concerned about others. To the two criminals on each side of him, one was abusing him, the other one was, hey, when you enter into your glory, remember me. And Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Jesus hanging on the cross thinking of others. Then the other one was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And all the time God's face was upon Jesus, even when he was on the earth. But it came to the point where the sin of the whole world rested upon Christ, and God can't look upon sin. He had to turn his back as Jesus took the load of sin right from the beginning and right from the end. Jesus took the whole burden of sin. Then Jesus said, I thirst, to fulfill the prophetic words about him. And then it says, it is finished. And then, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. What we want to look at today, it is finished. Do you like that term?
Yeah.
It brings release into your soul. It is finished. And we're going to look at John chapter 19 today, and verses 25 to 13. We're just going to read it through, and it goes like this. Verse 19. Now they stood by the cross of Jesus. Where were the disciples? They had forsaken, they had fled, they're gone. But here, the stood by the cross, or near the cross, in one of the versions says, was Jesus' mother. Now, could you imagine how Jesus' mother felt watching her son go through what he went through? To see what he went through and to look upon him. And the Bible says that you couldn't really identify him as a person. He was so bloodied and so beaten. How did Mary feel looking at Jesus? Heartbroken. But in early prophecy said that a sword would pierce her soul as well. And as she stood there, and also Mary's sister stood there with them, and Mary, the wife of Cleopas, the one that was going on the journey to Emmaus Road with Jesus. And then there was a Mary Magdalene, whom Jesus cast out seven demons. And they were standing around the cross. Next verse. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Verse 27. Then he said to the disciples, behold your mother. And from that hour the disciple took her to his home. Verse 28. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished. Interesting word. Pause there. After this, Jesus, knowing all things were accomplished. I wonder how he knew all things were accomplished. There's so many prophecies in Isaiah and Psalms and scattered through the scriptures about the things that Christ would accomplish. So he was right up to date on what the suffering servant would accomplish before he took his last breath. What things were now to be accomplished? It's interesting, on the mountain Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah appeared and were talking to Jesus, and they were talking about his death should accomplish at Jerusalem. Again in Luke, he said to his disciples, I have a baptism to be baptized, and I am distressed until it is accomplished. He says, there is something I need to accomplish before I take my last breath. Luke 18, he said to his disciples, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. There we have it again, shall be accomplished. Luke 22, this I say unto you, the things that are written must be accomplished. So all that was prophesied and written about Jesus before he could take his last breath must be accomplished. And this one, it says he is numbered with the transgressors. There he is hanging on the cross, numbered with the transgressions, for the things written must be fulfilled. Let's go back to verse 28. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a hyssop, and put it in his mouth. Let's pause there. So the vinegar, all this had to happen because it was part of the prophetic that was spoken about Christ. So they filled a sponge with sour wine. And every time I talk about this, I just think it is so repulsive. See, the sponge that they used, it was a sponge that every Roman soldier had one of these sponges in their bag somewhere. And it was a sponge that they used to use to wipe their backside. So they'd wipe the backside, rinse it out, put it back in the bag, off they go. So they took one of these out, put vinegar on, and give it to Jesus. What an insult. And put it to his mouth. Next verse, 30. And when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, what did he say? It is finished. Bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is finished. It'd be interesting to know how many people here today that are under the age of 33. Can you raise your hand, please? Under the age of 33. Okay, there's three or four of us. Okay, we see more of those people at night. But most people at 33, life is just beginning for them. Oh, you might say your life begins at 40, but in really 33, it is young. Most people that age, life is just beginning to happen for them, getting on with things. But Jesus at 33, what's he doing? He's hanging on a cross, having paid the price for the world's sins. He stands there and he says, everything's been accomplished. Now it is finished. It is finished. He didn't say that he was finished. He said it is finished. Because if he said he was finished, it would have meant a defeat. It was not a cry of defeat. It was a shout of victory. It is finished. What's finished? Everything that needed to be fulfilled for Christ to bring salvation to humanity. This word finished, it's a Greek word, tetelestai, tetelestai. May not be quite the right way to say it, but I just kept on saying it this week. Tetelestai, which means it is finished. It stands finished. It will always be finished. It happened and it's still effective today. He says, it is finished now, then, and forever. Oh, that's good news. It wasn't just a patch-up job, but it was a job that was finished. It was a task that was finished that would provide salvation for all humanity. You should be a little bit happy about that. It's an interesting word because in Genesis 2 and verse 2, that when God created the heavens and the earth and on the sixth day, then on the seventh day, it says there's a seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had done. Basically, you're saying it's finished. Creation is finished. Not finished as in kaput, but all that I desired to start creation, man, it's finished. And we're seeing still the byproduct of what was happening in creation thousands of years later. But on the cross, Jesus was saying, man, salvation, it's finished. It's complete. And this word, it is finished, it signifies the successful end of a particular action. Like you've been paying off your car for 5 years and 11 months, and you got the last payment, and you take it in, it's finished. Paid in full. It's done. It's complete. Yeah. Or if you finish a 10K run, man, you're running and running and running, and you get to the end, you say, man, it is finished. It is all complete. It means not just survival. It means I've finished what I set out to do. And Christ, when he left heaven, he came to this earth to be born, to live, to demonstrate the works of God, to die, to rise again. And he set and he finished what he set out to accomplish. The blood had been poured out. The sacrifice had been made. The sting of death had been removed. Man, what a great thing. We look at it now in hindsight and we can thank God. Yeah, it's finished. I don't know what they thought was happening on the cross when he said it was finished. But today, thank God that we can understand that salvation, all that needed to be accomplished for it to be a reality, it was finished. No longer the blood of bulls or goats or sacrifices. The precious blood of Jesus takes away every sin. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Thank God it is finished.
Amen.
I want to talk about three things. Number one is, when an artist had completed his work, he'd stand back and he'd say, "Tetelestai. Tetelestai." What's he saying? Man, I started it. And I finished. So Jesus came and gave us a full portrait of what God is like. You want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. You know, and people want to say we worship the only true God. Well, look at Jesus and see if we do. There's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Christ was the representation of God on this earth. And Jesus fully portrayed the love and the heart of God to a world. God dwelt amongst us and we didn't know it. And I think it's so important if you've got God in your life, come on, open your eyes and realize that God's with you.
Come on.
Now let's back up a little bit. Acts 10:38, it says, you know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. How he went about doing good, healing all who are oppressed by the devil because God was with him. What does God do? He does good. He heals those who are oppressed by the devil. How do I know it? Because Jesus did it. Because Jesus came to portray the love of God.
Amen.
Look at this one. John 1 and verse 1 in the Amplified Version. It talks about in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word was God. Listen to the Amplified Version. It says this. In the beginning before all time. In the beginning, before all time. When did time start? So it says here, in the beginning, before all time. So before time, Jesus was. It's a bit hard to understand in my mind, but that's what the word says. So before time, there was Jesus. After time, there'll be Jesus. Jesus has always been. God has always been. There's no beginning and no end. He's always been. He's eternal in existence. I can't get my head around that. I'm only going to live for a few years here on earth, but eternity. So before time, Jesus was. After time, Jesus will be. Jesus has always been. And it says here that in the beginning, before all time, was the Word. And the Word is Jesus. The Word is Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Imagine that people were crying for decades. God, give us a sign. Give us Emmanuel. And Emmanuel came and dwelt amongst them. And they didn't realize the Word became flesh and healed people and lived with people. But they didn't recognize that the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst them. And it says in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word was God himself. Who are we speaking about? Oh man, Jesus is God. God is Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, chew on that one. John 1:14. I love this word as well. And the word Christ, and the word Jesus Christ became flesh. And it says, and lived amongst us. Here we're saying again. And we actually saw his glory. What does glory mean? We saw his excellence. We saw his dignity. We saw his grace. We saw the characteristics of God living amongst us. We actually saw his glory. The glory as belongs to the one only begotten Son of the Father. The Son who is truly unique. The one of his kind, who is full of grace and truth, absolutely free of deception. Man, this is who we're talking about today. Jesus came and he portrayed who God is. Let me say it again, people. When people say, hey, every road leads to God, it's not true. There's only one road that leads to God, and that is God himself that became incarnate in Jesus Christ. Man, there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. We're all going to heaven. Not true. I'd like to think it, but it's not true. There's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And you might say, you mean, John, you know, there's no universal truth. There's no absolute truth. Oh, yes, there is. Yeah. Jump off the stage. I'll show you. You're not going up. You're going down. There are absolute truths, and people may try to tell you, no, there's not. There is absolute truth, and one of those is Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the Son of God. John 17, verse 4, it says, I have glorified you on the earth. Glorified here means I've honored you. I've made your name renowned. I've made your name glorious. And here Jesus is saying, I've glorified you on the earth. Here I have finished the work which you've given me to do. God was portrayed through Christ. What a beautiful name it is. Don't let people fool you into thinking, what is God like? Jesus is God. He came and he represented God. He was God. And you might say, you're confusing me. Yeah, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Man, I just thank God that the plan of salvation was fully accomplished for us.
Thank you for listening to part one of this message.